That's the worst that could happen. And in this situation, in that story, I realized that that hamster had a rough life. And I don't know where things are at in your life, but one of the things we've got to remember, if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, what is the worst that could happen? I go to heaven? You know, health can be rough and things can be hard and things can be difficult. I wouldn't call myself lucky, but I would call myself blessed. Blessed by a God who has looked down and loved man, provided for us a way to spend an eternity with him. And if you're sitting here in this room and that's not a decision that you've ever made, a choice that you've ever made, to realize that God is our Savior, that he has the power to save, to realize that you're a sinner, that your sin puts you on a path towards hell, that only through our faith and trust in Christ, God's gift of salvation, do I have the opportunity to spend an eternity with him. What a wonderful thing that as our bodies start to fall apart, and they are, you know, this getting old is not for sissies, and I'm just in the 50s. You guys that are in those 60s, 70s, I don't know, we've got a, maybe an 80. Do we have anybody 80? 80 more? Okay, we got Tom there at 80. I admire those guys more and more because it's not easy to just not be able to do what you've always been able to do. Because in Tom's mind, he's still a 19-year-old in his head. I mean, he's set to go, and the body just doesn't quite work. But boy, I'm looking forward to a time where that body is perfect, where there is no sin, where we have a God who is our Savior, and we get to spend an eternity with him. It's exciting, exciting stuff for us. So if that's not something that you're like, boy, how do you know that? How do you figure that out? Please talk to me afterwards. There's a number of pastors here that would love to sit down and show you from the Word of God. This is how you can know you can spend an eternity with heaven in heaven with God and not where we deserve. And so that's some good stuff. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. This is a really cool chapter. Years ago, I had a guy who put me on the side of a hill and put me there for like 20 minutes. And not 20 minutes, I mean like a long time, about an hour. And down at the very bottom of this hill was a rock. And on that rock was painted Psalm 46:10. And he just put us out there, and you know, after a while, looking at everything, you notice that rock, and you're like starting to wonder, what does Psalm 46:10 say? And I realized Psalm 46:10 is one of these very common verses that we hear quite often. You see them, you know, on little plaques and stuff like that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. We've probably heard that verse. We've probably been, that probably has come our way. And I want to take just a moment to understand the context of Psalm 46, to kind of look at what's going on. Psalm 46 is a chapter that basically shares with us some of the worst things that could possibly happen. This is, when you ask what's the worst that could happen, Psalm 46 has some of the answers. Now, there's an interesting little phrasing, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 11. Look at each one of those. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7. The Lord of our hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we see littered throughout this psalm, this fact, this truth, that God is with us. God is our refuge. That's something that I mean, it starts just with that point. But let's kind of dig in and see what else is going on. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the mountains, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Okay, now we have a tendency to just kind of just read that verse and never picture that verse happening. Okay, if you would, just imagine that this is a news story. And on the news, they are saying the earth is being removed and the mountains are being carried into the sea. Let's go talk to Lydia and see what she's saying with the people down in the street. I mean, if this were something that we could see, the mountains are being carried into the sea, it would be something that would stop us and be like, whoa, that is a bad day. That is a bad year. That's a rough way to go. And then, okay, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So if you're in the middle of that situation, this chapter is saying, don't be afraid. No, wait a minute. Soldier Mountain is going to the coast. What are you talking about? Don't be afraid. Like mountains are going into the sea. Look at verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Okay, so just imagine a mountain like a balloon, like a water balloon blowing up. I mean, here's, if you've been involved and gone through earthquakes for just a few seconds, a few moments, those are things where you suddenly realize, I can do nothing about this. There is something that's going on. I've been through just a couple of earthquakes where I have been outside and heard the roar of the earth. It is unlike anything else I've ever been a part of, where you could just hear the earth roar and you realize, I am really small. There's nothing, like, what am I going to do? Run into the house? That's not going to keep me safe. I mean, this is really it's kind of showing this whole picture of, man, this is bad. This is about as bad as I can imagine. And then after these two verses, verses 2 and 3, we see a contrast where everything is going as bad as possible. And then it's like it turns the scene here, and it's as peaceful as possible. Look at verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So you see this spot where man is, and it's just a mess, and it's tragedy and crisis and oh no and all of this, and then you turn over and you see where God is, and it just seems like a peaceful moment, a quiet spot that is right there. Whew. Verse 6 goes back, and it seems got back to where the people are and where earth is, and it says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. I don't even know how to imagine this. You know? I totally understand ice cream cone, race to eat my ice cream cone before desert heat melts it. You know? When they first give you that ice cream, you can see all of the, like, how they got it out, and it's kind of all the scoop stuff. After a while, it's just a bleh mess. You know, as it's starting to melt, you're trying to keep up, and it's just like, bleh. Okay, I just can't imagine L.A., bleh. Newberry Springs, bleh. Just, yeah, a little bit of heat, just like melting, like it's melted at the voice of God. The heathen raged, the kingdoms moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. It's interesting that here in verse 8, he starts to, so you see the context of a situation, and you see what is happening, and it's as bad as it could be. It's obviously making national news. People are saying, I've never seen anything like this. This is global warming all over. And they've got all this stuff about what's going on. And verse 8, it says, you know, come, but behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. I want to show you the power of God. And then when he does that, he shows us that God has the power over the military strength of mankind. In this illustration right here, he's taking whatever would be the greatest weapons of their day, the chariots. I mean, that would be kind of like our big weapons that we have today. And he's saying, God is bigger than those weapons. He's saying, man has made this, but God brings all of that to an end. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He just breaks that. He burneth the chariots in the fire. And so once again, if I can picture that, if I can picture a military army just all brought together and ready to go against, and God just breaks the bows, lights the chariots on fire, destroys an army. Oh, wow. Man, the earth is melting. The mountains are swelling. The mountains are going into the ocean. God is breaking down the military mechanisms that are all there. He's bigger than that. He's cutting that all to sunder. And then verse 10 says, be still. Okay, if you put yourself in context to all the things that are happening, you know what you're doing when what are we going to do? Have you seen everything? And verse 10 says, be still. Okay, now, my experience with be still is mostly as a 4 and 5 year old at church where mom's, be still, be still. And it's kind of like, okay. Be still was a don't move kind of statement. Literally, be still is the concept of to let down, to let it go, to say, whew. And I'm really kind of, when I'm looking through this and I'm understanding the context of the verse and it says, be still and know that I am God. For me, it just, okay, that doesn't compute. Okay, the context of this passage is great action and huge things happening and bad things going on. Be still and know that I am God. And I'm sitting there saying, how does knowing that I am God help me be still? And why do I even need to be still? What? To let down, to cast down, to be... And really, I'm trying to figure out what this is all. Be still and know that I am God. And I'm trying to understand why that phrasing is even there and how that helps me. And I'm working on trying to understand that and what that's all about. And it took me back to a time in my life where I was the most scared that I've ever been. And I relived that story in my mind about this one moment where I was most scared and what happened. And it kind of opened my eyes up to what was happening there. Let me take you to a time in my life where I was a youth leader with about 11 guys in my youth group. And I was with another guy, his name was Tom, and we decided to go down to Afton Canyon and camp out in a little place called Spooky Canyon. Spooky Canyon is this canyon where you walk up the canyon and it's huge. It's like 100, 150 feet deep and it's a wash, but it gets so deep it's almost like a cave and it's kind of spooky. And we had gone way back into this mountain and we'd crossed the river and it was flowing at that time and we crossed the river in our little Chrysler K car and we were so excited about this spot. We'd found a little spot that was on that canyon and right off to the side of that canyon there was this little spot that we could climb up and get in, and there was a place probably as big as this stage, and then the walls shot up about 100 feet, And 11 of us guys, when we opened up our bags, we filled this space. And we were all there. And I unfortunately started telling stories. I told the story of Voodoo Bear, which I have never told since that night. And I told the guys the story, and I realized that I had told it a little too well when about three of the guys were crying. And it was late at night. It was about 1 in the morning. And I realized, you know what, guy, that was just a story. Go back. And I'm like, no. It's no big deal. We can stay right here. And one of the guys started telling a story about how when you drop a penny off of the Empire State Building, it can crack concrete. And we were looking up in the air, and some little kid must have thrown a little rock on the side of the wall, and all of us got nervous that, like, a coyote was going to look over the edge and hit a rock and then break somebody's head open. So we're all sitting there now scared, and so we put pillows on our head. Then we took a belt and tied it up. So there's 11 guys sitting with pillow bonnets as we looked at each other, and two or three of them were trying to not cry because of Voodoo Bear. Then I heard the train go by, and I told about, you know, hobos that are on the train and they get off and they mess with people and all that. And then the other half of the guys are a little scared and like, no, I'm just kidding, guys. There's nobody out there. About 2 in the morning, we heard these two trucks go by, so we made up a story about the ranger who comes through the canyon and goes through, and the guys are like, really? I said, no, I'm just kidding. And they're like, yeah, but there was somebody there. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, they're right. Tom, who would be out here at 2 in the morning? I don't know who that is. Okay, that's a little scary, but let's not worry about it. And a few minutes later, it sounded like those two vehicles came back, and then they stopped. Now, our truck and our car were down the way, and I'm like, I looked over at Tom, and we could hear yelling and all this stuff, but we couldn't tell what they were saying. I said, I think there's a bunch of drunk guys down by our vehicle. We need to go protect our vehicles. And Tom looks at me, and he says, Sam, we need to take care of us. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Let's just stay right here. Let's not care about our vehicles. And they're yelling, and we can hear cars slamming. And I'm like, oh, man, we're getting graffiti over our old car and all this stuff. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh. But then we start to hear them walk up the canyon. And I look over at Tom, and I said, Tom, who is it? And Tom looks over, and I have no idea. What if they come? What if they're after us? I said, Tom, we got 11 guys here. Nobody even knows where we're at. And we climbed up through this little hole, and there was just this little gap right there. And I reached in my bag. I said, Tom, I brought my revolver, my gun. I had a little .22 pistol. And he's like big eyes, and he's looking at it. And I says, we can't let him through. We can't let him through this. We're getting more and more worked up as to what's going on. And I said, Tom, you stand in the gap, and I'll be right behind you. Just let's not let anybody through. And Tom is like, yeah, I'll stand in the gap. And so Tom's standing there, right there, you know, and we hear these, and they've stopped yelling, and they're still walking up the canyon, and every now and then we can see their flashlights, like, flash on the wall over there, and they're getting closer. And one of the guys who had fallen asleep over in the corner, he, like, wakes up, and he sees me, you know, with a pistol right behind Tom, and he's like, what's, in the moment he says, what's, like, three guys tackle him. And they're like, shut up. There's guys coming to kill us. And I listen to that, and I'm like, oh, no. And, of course, this guy's getting killed over here as he's getting smothered. I'm like, guys, let him breathe. Shut up. Everybody. I'm shaking at this point. I am nervous about what's going on. Tom is sitting there in the gap. I'm right behind him with my pistol. I'm totally ready to go. And all of a sudden, they come right to where our gap is. They're in the main canyon. We're kind of off the side. And I'm waiting right there. We can see the flashlights all over the place. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice that says, they should be here. And it's the voice of Miss Carol, the one who runs the stores, the one who runs our program team. And the moment I hear that voice, they should be here, all of a sudden, I know that voice. And I know that's not a voice who wants to kill me. At that moment, I hear, they should be here. Miss Karen! Oh, I thought I was about to die. Hey, Miss Carol, it's us. What are you doing? Tom's wife has gone into labor. She went in early. We need Tom. Tom had to run to the hospital, had twins that night, and they needed Tom to get there. And for me, I'm breathing hard 10 minutes later. I'm like, I thought I was going to die. I thought life was over. Until what? Until I knew the voice of the person who is there. And I knew that this is not a person who wanted to kill me, who wanted to hurt me, who wanted to harm me. And the whole cast down, let down, be still happened. When everything was going wrong, the worst thing that could happen was happening, and all of a sudden, I know that voice. Oh, okay, I'm so happy that it's you. Men, here's the really cool part. The only way that I will be still is if I know that He is God. And what do I need to know about my God? There's three things here in the next few phrases that I need to know about my God. Four things here. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Men, our God is bigger than any person on this planet. There is not a group of people, an army of people, an individual. God is bigger than all of mankind. I've got to know that about my God. Number two, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We have a God who's bigger than everything that happens on this earth. He is in control of that. Try to tell the wind what to do. You can't do that. God can. Try to be in control of an earthquake. Try to bring that on cue. You can't. God can. Try to create the path for lightning. Book of Job. You can't. God does. God has lightning like a pet. Can you imagine that? God can tell the rain where to rain. We sometimes step back. And we're all nervous about what's happening in the earth and what's happening on our planet and what took place right there. And look, we know the God who controls that. Okay, if I only knew those two things, that would be amazing knowledge, but I would still be scared. I would still be like, oh no, yeah. I know that we have a God more powerful than all of people. And I know that I have a God more powerful than all of the earth. But what else do we see about God? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. This is huge. The Lord of hosts is with us. So when all of that is happening with people and the planet, I have a God who's with me. Verse 1 says that He is a very present help. It's right there. So be still and know that I am God. Realizes that God is with us, and God has the power over people and the planet. And then the last thing that we see here, I will be exalted. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is with us, and He takes care of us. He's our refuge. He's that safe spot. I know the last 6 months have been crazy different. But we have a God bigger than coronavirus. We have a God bigger than our government and our president. We have a God who's bigger than all of the nations. And He's with us. Amen. And provides for us a refuge. That's what allows me when everything is going on, all these things are taking place, and the worst is happening, I'm like, okay. It almost seems like you are not even paying attention. Yes, I see what's going on, But God is more powerful than people. God is more powerful than the planet. God is with us, and God provides a refuge. That's what allows me to be still. That's what gives me the... I'm not worried. God is my refuge. The pictures that are going on in Psalm 46 are vivid and scary and big and are way worse than 2020. And I still, if this were what was going on, I still have the ability to be still and know that I am God. At first, I thought Psalm 46:10 was just one of those verses that a lot of people liked because of the little ditty. You know, be still and know that I am God. But when I studied this passage, suddenly Psalm 46:10 became, this is life verse. I need this one. Like when it says, be still and know that I am God, the things that I know about God are what allow me to say, whew, thank you, Lord. So we finish up a men's retreat. And we really understand that God's plan is just bigger. God is just bigger, which allows me, I don't have to fix it. I don't have to take care of it. I don't have to figure it out. I just need to obey my God, glorify Him in the process, do what He asked me to do in those simple steps. And that's all I do the rest of my life. I look forward to an eternity when we get to see what His plan was all about and how He worked it all out. I look forward to asking questions about 2020. This is an interesting time, and I what are all the things that you were doing, God? And I think He can point to a million different things that He was doing. I'll bet that during this course of time, you've been reminded of how small you are and how big God is. And it doesn't surprise me that He would bring something in our life that would teach us that. That's good for every one of us to know, to understand. Be still and know that I am God. The only way that I can be still is to know something about my God. The four things that are listed here are just the start, just the beginning. The more you spend time in God's Word, the more you realize, wow, He's got that taken care of. He's got that taken care of. God, give me something to do. Could I do anything? And yes, you read God's Word, you're going to see a few things that you could do. But He takes care of the heavy lifting. He takes care of the things that are hard. I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you head home and you just realize, okay, I got nothing to worry about. I hope that you go home to a wife, give her a great big kiss and say, hey, everything's good. It's all taken care of. We don't have to worry about a thing. And she'd be like, no. Let's talk just a little bit. Be still and know that I am God. God's got this taken care of. We'll do our little parts. We'll do our little pieces. But look, guys, we've got a God that is so big. And He's an ever-present help in the trouble that we do. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I just want to give you a moment of silence here to give back to God something that He should be taking care of, something that He should be worrying about, something that He has the power to deal with. Men, obviously, there are things that we need to do, choices that we need to make, and we need to take care of those, but after we do what we're able to do, we just need to be still. Know that He is God. If you've let some of these circumstances of the last few months kind of consume your thoughts and in your life, and it's really kind of thrown you for a loop, just let that go. Just be still. Don't get all agitated, upset about something you really can't take care of. You've got a God who's going to take care of you. He knows where you're at. So just pray to God and tell Him what you know about Him. Tell Him what you know about His power and His love. Tell him this passage right here. God is bigger than people. God is bigger than the planet. God's with me. God is my safe place, my refuge. be still and know that I am God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for, once again, a simple passage that is so encouraging. Lord, this has been a year unlike any year that I've ever lived through. And there have been times where I tried to figure it out on my own. And Lord, this is a great reminder to just put my trust in you. Just you are God. Lord, I pray for these men as they lead their families and serve in their churches and work at their places of employment. And Lord, I pray for some who don't have a job and who really are at a spot where a lot of bad things have happened. I pray that they would take some of the words from this time and remember that your plan is bigger than our life. And even though there may be some things that are really bad, we can always know that you're with us, that you care about us, that you're our safe place. Help us to trust in you each moment, each day. Help us to have reactions that are godly. Lord, there's a lot of things we've talked about here this weekend, and Lord, I pray that we would just make some application in a couple of areas. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.